You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
God, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labour, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me.
Colossians open. Page 1183, we've just sung a lovely prayer. Page 1183, Colossians 1. And we're going to be looking at really just verses 28 and 29. I'm going to save some other verses for next week and real food. But we're going to be looking at a number of verses in Colossians. But look at verse 28. What great verses! Great verses to speak about. We proclaim him. We proclaim him. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. What great verses to hear. We proclaim him. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature or perfect, as the NIV has, in Christ. Note that, in Christ. To this end I labour, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want to begin with an important question, but it might seem a strange question. Why does the Apostle Paul spend 11 verses talking about his ministry, defending his ministry? Why doesn't this letter go from chapter 1, verse 23, straight to chapter 2, verse 6? It's a great question to ask. Why is this bit here? So look at this. Verse 23, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. If you continue in your faith, why does it then just pick up then at 2 verse 6? Just look, glance down. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Note this, in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Why does the Apostle Paul spend 11 verses describing his ministry, talking about his ministry? And let me say, it's not just because he's full of himself. You see, the ministry of the apostles is all about how Christians gain access to God. They gain access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only Jesus Christ that we have is the apostolic Christ, the one that they have written about and testified to. That's why we confess that we're an apostolic church. It's very important. And you see, that comes through the message that the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ bring. Now, remember that Paul had never visited Colossae. Look back to chapter 1, verse 7. Look at this. This is the gospel that's bearing fruit all over the world, growing. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been, this is verse 6, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Note all the references to all that keep coming. All, everyone. Fullness. Every. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, look at this, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So all these verses defending Paul's ministry, explaining Paul's ministry. This gospel has been declared everywhere. Look at the end of verse 23 of chapter 1. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature. It's hyperbole, of course, isn't it? But there isn't another gospel. If anybody comes claiming another gospel, it's a false gospel. It's being proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. You see, right the way through this letter, there is the theme of the sufficiency of Paul's ministry and his message. Because what he has done is, verse 28, proclaim Christ. So my first heading is this, that proclaiming Jesus Christ through word ministry is everything you need in ministry. Now, there are lots of ministries, don't get me wrong, but proclaiming Jesus Christ is the ministry you need to bring people to God and for people to grow in Christ, as we'll see. We proclaim him. Who is the him? It's like the question in the Sunday school, isn't it? It must be Jesus. But who is this Jesus Christ? Paul's told them. Look at verse 15 of chapter 1. Let this blow your minds. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You're trusting this Christ, and in him all things hold together. There's nobody kind of above Christ. He's the supreme Lord over creation, over the new creation. Verse 18, he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. He's the supreme Lord over the old creation, over the new creation. If you've got Christ, you really do have the one that matters. He's the supreme Lord. And look, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, verse 19, and through him, through Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You have been reconciled. Once, verse 21, you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's body. He has reconciled you. He's brought you together. You were enemies. And of course, God was against you in judgment. But by Christ's shed blood, you've been brought together. He's the all-sufficient Saviour, the supreme Lord, the all-sufficient Saviour. So this is the point in Colossae. There's lots of people knocking around in Colossae, lots of people. There are false teachers saying, you're not quite good enough there. You've not quite got enough. I mean, Christ is important, but there's a bit more. And we're going to see what this false teaching, it goes into chapter 2. He's worried about them being deceived, being taken captive. So who is this Jesus? He's the supreme Lord and all-sufficient Saviour that they have proclaimed. So it's not the Jesus Christ of our liking, the Christ of that people love to invent, but the supreme Lord and the all-sufficient Saviour. And he is the apostolic Christ, you see. Verse 25, I've become its servant by the commission God gave me, chapter 1, to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that's been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. See, you know, it wasn't fully disclosed in the Old Testament. There's lots of promise. But look, to them, to the saints, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Extraordinary, isn't it? That we are united to God in Christ, and he comes to dwell in us, the hope of glory. So these false teachers in Colossae were going on about their special experiences and their religious rituals and their religious rules. You know, if you look down to 2 verse 20, there are people of saying, look, 2:21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Look, special rules which will bring you closer to God. Follow these in Lent. Sorry, just throw that out for you to think about. You'll get closer to God. No, you're not. You know, if you've got Christ, special experiences, don't they? 2:18, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he's seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He's lost connection with the head. So there's false teaching around that's saying, yeah, Christ's okay. Sorry, I'm interpreting a bit. Christ's okay, but you need this to have fullness of life, really to be in touch with God, for the fuller life, the deeper life. And you see, Paul is saying his ministry because actually proclaiming this Christ, he is the one who is the supreme and all-sufficient Saviour. He's everything you need in ministry. We proclaim him. We proclaim him. He's presented the word of God in all its fullness and to all people. There is no other kind of gospel knocking around. True gospel. Apostolic Christianity. So we're not talking about any Jesus. It is this Jesus, the Jesus of God's word, the apostolic word. And of course, it's not just doing any ministry. Now, don't get me wrong here. There are lots of ministries in the life of the church. We had one just now. You know, somebody cleared up Dear Nathan stuff, tied it in a pile. It's going to be washed, ready for when he comes back to us. That's a ministry. Don't get me wrong here. But the ministry that puts people in touch with God proclaims Christ in his word, because he's the one you must trust, the supreme Lord and all-sufficient Saviour. And look what it says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. These are speaking words. The ministry that's right at the heart of everything that we do is proclaiming, teaching, speaking God's word. The Christ whom we encounter in his word needs to be taught and proclaimed and spoken. Fantastic what we can do this week, isn't it? We can speak about Christ in all those positions that the Sovereign Lord Jesus places in this week, as we were learning this morning. So therefore, can I just say, it's not enough to be ordained and to wear a dog collar or to be given a ministry somewhere or to be a Trinity Kids leader. We proclaim Christ. We've got so many people who wear dog collars who don't proclaim Christ, admonishing, teaching everyone with all wisdom. So proclaiming Jesus Christ through word ministry is everything you need in ministry. But then secondly, proclaiming Jesus Christ through word ministry grows perfect or mature disciples in Christ. What a wonderful statement. Look, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Now, some translations have mature there, which actually I think it's better that it's perfect, because mature can sound a bit boring. You know, it's the kind of thing that parents say, you know, when you grow up, you know, you become mature, you won't do that. You know, it's kind of boring word, but perfect. It is a growth word, isn't it? It's growing to our final state of being like Christ. Romans 8, we read that God's great plan is to conform us to the likeness of his Son. So we're growing in Christ, becoming like Christ, becoming mature in Christ, perfect in Christ. And that is in knowledge of his love and grace and in character. So how does that come about? We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And you see, there's both a positive and a negative. There's a teaching and admonishing. So expect the truth to be taught. Expect the error to be avoided. You know, that's wrong, this is true. This is the true Christ, that is a false Christ. Expect to be admonished if we're going off course. And you see, it doesn't happen by magic. You go to this special meeting and you get the fuller experience. We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with wisdom, so we may present everyone mature in Christ. We're going to see in a moment that we have fullness in Christ. There is a growth into that fullness that we're to have. We have everything we need in Christ to bring us to God. We're to grow in him. So there's teaching and admonishing. There's a positive, there's a negative. So we're to expect God's word to correct us and rebuke us. Now that's against the culture of our society. It's against the culture of the church, tragically. But we are to change, aren't we, as we hear God's word taught, to grow in him. Just flick over the page. You see, when he says we proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so we may present everyone perfect in Christ, just the beginning of chapter 3, just look at it this week, how we're united to Christ. We're in Christ. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Why do you go and listen to people who say you need something more? Your life is hidden with Christ in God. You can't get closer to God than that, can you? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory, put to death therefore. So because you're in Christ and united to Christ, here's the outworking, isn't it, of all those nasty things from your earthly nature that you're to put to death, and here's what you're to clothe yourselves in. Now that all comes through proclaiming Christ, who you are in Christ. This is what's required, admonishing, teaching, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. There's a wonderful future aspect to it as well. That I love this, you know. The Apostle Paul says, you know, here we are, we're presenting everyone, all these people in Christ on the last day. If you just look back to verse 22 of chapter 1, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Now, I said that now God sees you as clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But on the last day, that, so to speak, will be seen to be real. Not just clothed, we will be in the likeness of our Son. That's what we're growing into. But that is all in Christ, the Christ that is proclaimed to you and who is living in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Do you know there are many temptations to move away from teaching God's word? You know, all around. Preaching and teaching God's word has never been popular. Read Corinthians for that. Apostle Paul, they wanted a special type of preacher, an entertainer, an orator. But you see, we proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. It's the means of winning people and building them up in Christ. And we do that with all wisdom. I used to think about, why does he say with all wisdom? Well, look down to chapter 2, verse 3. And I think it's linking to this. You see, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Again, you see, where are you going to find all wisdom? It's in Christ. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Now, actually, as I've gone on in pastoral work, I've appreciated those words more and more. You know, we need wisdom, all the wisdom that's there in Christ, to know what to teach to help people. You see, the Christian lacking assurance needs the words of Christ that bring comfort. Don't they? Those who come to me, I will never drive away. It's no good beating up the Christian who needs words of assurance, of reassurance, is it? From Christ. You need to deal with all wisdom, you see. That's the wisdom of Christ that's there in Christ. But the Christian who is lazy and half-hearted and couldn't care less about their sin needs the word of Christ that brings gentle rebuke. Admonition. It's no good reassuring the lazy or sinful or half-hearted Christian who needs to be called to repent. You see, I think that's what it says, with all wisdom. There in Christ, the Christ who will reassure, the Christ who will challenge and say, stop, repent. So that all comes through proclaiming and teaching and admonishing, word ministry with all wisdom. And we need wisdom as we teach different members of our groups, don't we? If you're a growth group leader, this person who's constantly lacking assurance, there's the person who actually needs a jolly good kick up the backside. You're not going to give that, but God, in his word, through Christ, is going to give that. You know, whatever it may be. And notice this is the ministry for everyone. It's great, isn't it? So that we may present everyone. Comes three times in verse 28. False teachers have their spiritual in crowd. Those who've had the fuller spiritual experience. Those who are really there and in touch with God. So you see, if you become one of them, you're in. But Paul says, no, we proclaim Christ, admonishing, teaching everyone with all wisdom, so we may present everyone perfect, mature in Christ. It's worth saying as well, can I just say, we're not just trying to get vast numbers of people through the doors of Trinity. We long, don't we, that more and more people hear about Christ. But we are trying to disciple them to grow to maturity, to perfection is Christ. And then lastly, proclaiming Jesus Christ through word ministry involves struggling I love this, with the power of Christ. To this end, 20, I labour, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me. With all his energy, again, emphasis on all. I love that. I labour. That's the word of hard graft. Struggling. It's not easy. You see, when you look at some ministries, it's all glory now. The ministry of power. Look at the power of God. Look at the things we can do. We have the power to put you in touch with God. But word ministry, proclaiming Christ, teaching and admonishing, for the Apostle Paul is hard work. To this end I labour and struggling. It is hard work, isn't it? As one of our church members was in the Kate's office, preparing, had his Bible open. It's hard to prepare a growth group study or the kids' teaching session, even harder to prepare the kids' teaching session well, to prepare it properly, what God's word is saying. It's hard work to keep going, especially when there are discouragements, especially when the children want to riot. Sorry, our children don't riot. I know they don't riot. Or they don't seem to be bothered, or they're not very interested, or they don't turn up, or they don't seem to be growing. To this end, I labour, struggling. Look at the resources. With all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Kind of a double emphasis there. With all the energy that so powerfully works in me. All his energy, all Christ's energy. I just want to make this point. That is, as we get on in ministry, in word ministry, that Christ strengthens us. So we're not kind of hanging around waiting, you know, for that special moment when the power comes. It's very interesting. Apostle Paul, you see, getting on and proclaiming Christ. To this end I labour, struggling with all his energy that so powerfully works in me. This verse has been a fantastic encouragement to me late on a Saturday night. It really has. When I've been thinking, oh, this is inadequate, this is not very good, and where am I going to find another illustration, and whatever it may be, and is this right, what I'm teaching? I'll put in a bit more time. And the Lord Jesus Christ strengthens in that, as we do that, as we labour in word ministry. He doesn't strengthen the idle, the Lord. He strengthens those who are doing his work and who are repentant and need his help and cry out to him. It's great. It's a great, great verse, that. This is great. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labour, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me.